come out this evening to worship our God in song and learn how to do that better. We're so excited to have you with us tonight. We have just a number of visitors with us, as well as a lot of Eastside folks, which is our intention. We're happy that you can be here to honor the God of heaven. Several have traveled from several miles, and we have some from the community, and we're just glad to see you all. Have Tim Stevens with us, and did a good job last night. We're looking forward to this evening and the rest of the week and on into Sunday as he helps us worship God in song. I want to make a couple of announcements before we get started. Vernon Reese had cataract surgery today, and he is at home, I think, doing well. We do have several sick and recuperating and whatnot, but we mentioned those last night, and I won't go over that list again. Out of town, Jeff Shaver has been, but I think he's hoping to be home tonight. We do have several meeting announcements and other things going on in the area. Those are located, the announcements, on a bulletin board to the right as you go out the main entrance. You might want to look at that as you leave this evening. I've asked Scott Richards, who's visiting with us, to lead us in our opening prayer just as soon as I get done, and then Herbert Alexander will lead us in a closing prayer at the end of service tonight. Again, we're glad that you're here. We're going to have Scott come and lead us in a prayer, and then we'll give the rest of the time over to Tim. Let's pray together.
Let's all pray. Our God and our great Heavenly Father, we come to you now thanking you so much for this opportunity for us to be together, for us to think about the things that we do for worship, to celebrate and to glorify you, to edify one another, and to encourage one another. Father, we are so grateful for the gift of song, that we may sing in unison together. Please be with us as we think about the things that are going to be brought forth to us tonight, as we learn how to sing our parts and do our parts in worship. Father, we're very thankful for Brother Stevens coming and taking his time to teach the things that he has learned, the things that he knows. We're thankful for his abilities, and for those that have taken the time to do those things as well. Father, there are those that have been mentioned that are not doing well, that are recovering from things that have happened to them, either surgeries and other things like that. Father, we pray that you be with them. We pray that you be with those that are sick. Father, we are well aware that there are many that are sick with the flu and other things that are coming around, and we pray that you be with us and protect us from that. Father, we especially pray for those that have strayed away from the straight and narrow path that you've made. We pray for those that aren't Christians, for those that have made decisions that are not the right ones. We especially pray for those. We pray for us that we may make the right decisions in everything that we do. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins when we fail. Most of all, Father, we are extremely grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, for leaving the throne of heaven, coming to this earth, living his life, and ultimately giving his life for all of us. Father, we are so sorrowful for the things that he had to go through for our sins, but we are extremely grateful to have a Savior that loves us so much. Father, for all these things that we've asked in this prayer, amen.
This will be our seating arrangement tomorrow evening and even Saturday evening when we come back for those evenings. But let me begin first off with the basses. I'm going to have you sing this note. Do, altos mi, spreading soul, tempo. Okay, let's do that again. Do. Harmony there with four parts. Some of you know this already, some of you may not. One more time, they're going to start off into this song coming up. When we all get to heaven, basses are on a do, altos are on a mi, that diamond shape. Sopranos are on a sol, the oval. And then the tenors are on a high do, like you just got through humming right there. All right, one more time. Do, mi, sol, do.
Sing, sing the Lord Christ.
Praise Jehovah. Starts a little differently as far as the notes. We're all going to be on the same note. Sopranos have an oval shape, sol, so do the basses, altos, and tenors. So look at this song right here. Here's the soprano notes up there on top and alto together. Stem going up right there is the soprano, stem coming down for the altos. Tenors are on the sol, and so. Now, if I just said to you right now, give me your starting note. Some of you might be able to get it from that previous song, but you really need something to help you out in getting that note. What would it be? We need the key note, which is the key of G, which is Do. Do is shaped like what? A triangle. All right, right there, there's our Do. Here's what it sounds like. Do. And up here, it's telling us to come down to a so. Everybody's on that same note. Do, so. Come here, basses. So, alto, so, soprano, so, tenor, so. Sing.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from land.
Do. We've heard that for a long, long time. Many of you heard it for the first time in a musical years ago called Sound of Music. When Maria taught those kids how to sing, she used this method, the singing names. She didn't teach them shape notes. She taught them these singing names. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. You remember? Do, a deer, a female deer. Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me, a name I call myself. Fa, a long, long way to run. So, a needle pulling thread. La, a note that follows so. Ti, a drink with jam and bread. And that brings us back to do. So, mi, re, do. Re, mi, do, mi. Re, mi, fa, mi, re, fa. Then they want to know. The question is, so what does this mean? She said, well, you put words to that. So, do, la, fa, mi, do, re. When you know the notes to sing. So, do, la, ti, do, re, do. You can sing most anything. And they just started singing, and they learned how to do this in about 5 minutes. It didn't take them any time to learn it. So I'll give you 10. No, it takes a while to do this. Most of you, there's a lot of you in here tonight that I've known for many, many years, that you knew my father before you ever met me, And you know where I had to learn. If I wanted to eat, I had to learn this. So I heard this growing up as a little boy. And just going down the highway, I mean, my dad was always singing these things, singing names. And those syllables and singing names were invented way, way back in the 11th century. Shape notes didn't come along till around 1800s, the shape notes. There are people who knocked that idea or knocked this method down. Well, shape notes are just a crutch. What do we use crutches for? To get around, don't we? Have you ever criticized somebody for using a crutch or using a walker? No, you know they're having to use that to get from here to there. That's what shape notes do. They help us to get from a do, fa, re, sol. A while ago we started off singing that Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. We had to start with a do and come down to the sol. But so you get to learn those intervals after a while of doing it, and it's very, very helpful in singing all together. And here are the shape notes and the singing names right here. The do is shaped like a housetop, like a home. That's home base, do. Whatever key we're in, we may be singing a song in the key of C or F or B flat, E flat or A flat or D flat, G, D, A, E, whatever it may be. Do is going to be whatever key we're in as we're singing songs from our hymn book. Re is a half circle, and the mi is a diamond. And as I've told people, that's the only shape my wife ever learned in all of this, because it's me like diamonds. And so she just sings me all the time. No, she doesn't. But she's struggled with this. She learned to play the piano growing up, and you're playing all round notes. And those of us that have went through that or playing an instrument in school, in band, whatever, we were singing round notes. And we have in our hymn books, we have the shape notes. That's very helpful to get around. And she's been able to learn to do this pretty well. But she looks at the notes by position and has an idea of what it's going to sound like to go from one note to another. I told her, when you learn this method, you can be right on every time. And sometimes with round notes, it's a little difficult unless you do it a lot. All right, Ferris, Lord Jesus. Just want to show here where the different parts are singing when we look at the song in the hymn book. Here we have the basses down here. There's that do. Who else has a do? Sopranos do. This is going to be in the key of E. So here's what an E sounds like. E or do. That's their starting note. Do, sopranos do. But what about the tenors? Do, mi. You're able to get that mi because of do. So altos, how about your note? Do, so. So let's have it down. Do, mi, do, so. Okay, now y'all listen to that. Just listen, that's all four parts. Do, so, mi. Oh, let's sing.
There is Lord Jesus.
See where do is? Going back here. See where do is? It's on that first line. And that line in the treble staff up here on the is E, line E. But you don't need to know that. Just want you to see it, where do is. But now look where do is going to be. We're going to change the key now to key of G. Do now is up on the second line. And before we can get anyone to sing their starting note, we got to get do first. Here we go. There's G, do. Who has a do? Basses do? Do. Who else has one? Altos? Do, there's your starting note. And what about the tenors? Mi, soprano? Okay, stronger. Do, mi, sing. Christ for the world we sing, the truth Christ in me, with loving zeal, the poor and dead and born, the faith and hope reborn, sin, sick and sorrow born, through Christ appears.
Okay, now let's see where we go now. Do is now in a different spot. Look where it is now. It's right down here. It's on C. It's going to sound like this. Do. Last song, Do was here. Do. See, everything relates to Do. So if I give you Do, what's the Mi going to sound like? Do, Mi. But when the key is C, here's our Do. Do, what's the Mi gonna sound like? Mi, you're just jumping up to the third. What about Sol? Sol. So now we have the altos are on the Do, bass is on the Do, sopranos on the Mi, and tenors are where? Sol. Notice where the tenors are all the way across the line. They stay on one note all the way across. You think, what a boring part. There's no melody to it at all. But it sure does sound good when you put all the parts together. So, matter of fact, even on the next line, all the same note. So if they tell you that they can't sing tenor, remind them of this, okay? If they don't stay on this note, then they don't ought to even be singing at all. No, I didn't mean that. That was the wrong thing to say. Who am I to tell anybody that they don't have to sing? All right. Do. So, mi soprano, so mi.
With my love to Christ so sweet, when for deeper faith I see, think what I go to thee, pardon of Gethsemane.
Okay, the next song coming up, it's Do's in a different position. But everything relates to Do. When I give you the Do sound, everybody ought to be able to line up. It's like I told the boys today over at the school. I said, boys, it's like in football, no one knows where to line up on the field until you put the ball down. You put the ball down on the field, your offense knows where to go, your defense knows where to go, your center, your quarterback, your tight ends, your wide receivers, they know where to go, don't they? Only when the ball is set down on the field. And as that ball goes down the field, and so they move up, but everybody knows where to line up. Same thing when it comes to singing. You've got to hear where Do is. That's why I encourage song leaders, sound the Do. A few months ago, I was in Florida, and the guy said, well, I just don't do it that way. I said, well, how do you do it? He said, I just go to my note. And I kind of joked with him. I said, so it's all about you? He said, well, no. I said, well, you're making it all about you. I said, don't you want everyone to start with you? Well, yeah. I said, well, they're not going to. But you'll have more people starting with you when you sound the Do, the key note. And so here we go. We're now in the key of E flat. And who's got that note? Basses and altos do. There's that triangle shape. Do, basses, alto, do. Soprano, mi, tenor. Good, there we go. We're getting a little more confidence. Sing.
When the ball I feel to our tenor falls, when you are discouraged, it is long and falls. Count your many blessings and one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord will have done. Count your blessings and one by one.
God is so good. Key of E flat, same key. Do, bass is soprano now. Do, alto, where do you go? Do, so. Tenor, what do you do? Do, mi.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
All right. Now let me just talk a little bit about tempo variations. There are songs that are meant to be sung slow, like God is so good. There are songs that are meant to be sung fast. When the phone lights billows, you are tempest tossed. Difference in tempo. We want to change that up when we're leading. Fellas, change it up a little bit. Don't have everything in the same tempo. That'll get really monotonous after a while, and it'll affect our worship. See, this is really not just a singing school. This is song worship training. This is about focusing our minds, our hearts upon worshiping God. And I believe as a song worship leader, it's important that I understand that I'm not up leading singing. I'm leading God's people in worship. Worshiping God. That's what it's all about. And we're going to benefit from it, aren't we? I believe tonight already I've benefited from our efforts as we have joined our voices together, primarily to focus upon Him, but we've been edified thus far. But then there are songs to be sung sort of in between. But when I go to places around the country, I ask them what seems to be the problem here. They say, we sing everything slow. I told the boys today, or asked them today, what happens when you start a song off slow that's meant to be sung fast? And they said, it gets slower? I said, yeah, it'll get slower. And we were singing a song that was meant to be sung more upbeat. Come, let us all unite to sing. They said, well, we can just see from the words from that ought to be sung with more brightness and energy. I said, that's right. Look at the words of a song. So when it comes to the time signature, and I'll talk more about that in a few moments, when you have a time signature of 2-2 or 2-4 or 3-2 or 3-4, 4-2, 4-4, 9-8, 9-4, whatever it might be, that does relate to tempo. But what really, to me, what relates to tempo is what we're singing about, the message of the song. I mean, I could go and lead a song for an invitation song that's meant to be sung upbeat. But when I get to a song like Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, I'm not going to sing that at an upbeat tempo, but more like, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Come home, come home. We sing with more tenderness, pleading, encouraging someone to come, to respond. Not to us, but to the Lord. And as a leader, we need to convey that to the worshiper, to those that are worshiping. So I asked that question, by the way, and I told somebody one time, I said, 100% of the time I'm told we sing our song slow, we drag. So I've had to drop that percentage down to 99%, because I was in one place, I asked them, what seems to be the problem here? And one lady, she said, we just can't sing. I said, well, okay. I was not expecting that answer, but you know, she was right. I found that out pretty quick. So look at the title of these two songs. I Need Thee Every Hour. Fast or slow? Why should it be slow? It's a prayer, song of prayer. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. Matter of fact, when that song, beat one is not I, it's need. I need thee every hour. So it's a song of prayer, so we sing it slowly. What about to God be the glory? Slow or fast? Fast, upbeat. To God be the glory. So let's keep that in mind as we sing a song of prayer and a song of praise.
And let's do one, followed by the other, and go back to the one, and followed by the other. You'll see, as we sing these, we want to sing it based upon the tempo, based upon the message of the song. Do. The rest of you, that's good. You figured it out. Good. You were able to do that because of Do. Do.
I did sing every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender was my heart, and me so poor. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need
thing that I want to mention right now. You know, there are a few times I was a little late on moving the slide. If I'm a little late moving the slide, it's going to affect the tempo. So what I encourage fellas whoever's doing the transitioning of slides, be a little quicker on the trigger. Don't wait till the end and then do it, because then you take over the leading. I mean, I'm not just saying to you guys, all of the country, this is going on. It just needs to be done a little bit early. Like, let me just give a little example here. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. See, I was already making the transition. That's one reason why we have it going left to right, that it wipes across so that our eyes are going back up the next slide. Even though we know the song really well, people will still hesitate if we wait till we get the end of it and then move it. It's got to be moved a little ahead. Better to be a little ahead than behind, because then the leader is no longer leading. Someone else is leading it with this. So, and I just want to bring that to y'all's attention. All right, some of the fundamentals of rhythm. Okay, something happened here. Oh, it blacked out? Okay.
Uh-oh, back to the beginning. Can you find the spot? I probably hit something here that went back to the beginning. I was telling the boys today at the Bible school that I asked them, I said, what kind of device do you have for getting the pitch to song? Well, one of them had the old pitch pipe that I grew up on, and some of you did. Some of them had, of course, they had phones. And, all right, thank you. And I told them that these are no longer being made. They stopped making these. And so I said, it's just, I was using the app on my phone when one of these bit the dust when I was leading 1,000 people last year in Houston. This quit on me. So I took my phone off and I pulled it up and I had an app on there that keeps wanting me to buy the app and I just haven't bought it. But they keep advertising all kinds of items for me to buy. So while I'm up there leading, I keep seeing in my peripheral and I looked down and I saw a queen-size bed and I don't know what all I saw. They even had the gaming thing that came up with all the, you know, these gaming things. I thought, this is terrible. And I told my wife later, I said, if we have a queen-size bed shows up on our front porch, I know when it got ordered. All right, I come back now to here, time signature relates to tempo. And what else relates to tempo? The song itself, the message. I tell you what, I would look at that more than I would the time signature, because sometimes the songwriter didn't really get it right. I'm not being critical of that. I just know that my father, a songwriter, sometimes would say to me, son, I did not get that right. And you all knew him, he would go change it, which meant the next printing is going to be different. But he was notorious for that. All right. So then we look at the measure bars, the vertical lines. Those are called measure bars, what's highlighted in pink. And between one measure bar and another is called a measure. There's so many beats per measure. When you see a four up on top, it's telling you there's going to be four beats per measure. And we beat that. Song leaders should be beating that in a four-beat pattern, which is down, in, out, up. Do that with me. Down, in, out, up. Down, in, out, up. It's okay, ladies. Go ahead. Kids, go right ahead. Get a feel of it. Like I told y'all last night, it's not just about the leader. You're learning to follow the leader. This is helping you to follow the leader and understand this is not as easy as it might look. People say, I thought they were just waving at us. No, there's a reason for using the hand, and I tell people all the time, this is the way I communicate. If I want a song to be strong and loud, I can do it with this. I don't need to tell them at the beginning of the song, we're going to get loud on the last page and certain measure. People don't remember that. But when you communicate with your hands to get soft, you all did that a while ago on Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. In the chorus, and his glory, y'all just softened down. And it was all from watching, and you're watching this. So that's the four-beat pattern. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. You have three on top, that means you're going to be three beats per measure. In other words, you need to be feeling three beats. One, two, three. And here's the beat pattern. Down, out, up. Down, out, up. Now, some of you told me last night, that's not the way I learned it. I learned it coming in, and that's okay. But this is really better. And the reason why it's better is, like I said, when you get to a fermata, to a hold, you can hold it out in here instead of holding it out in here. I guarantee you, when your hand is inside here, it gets lost in the body. But when it's out here, you can see it. And when you cut it off, you can cut off in the direction your hand is moving and sweep back up, and it's a lot smoother that way. But I told you, though, those of you that say, it's the way I learned it, it's the way I want to stick with it, I'm going to tell you what, I didn't lose any sleep over that last night at all. So you go ahead and do it that way if you want to. It's still right. It's not wrong. It's just that I think we need, I believe that what we're doing, every time I do this, I learn something everywhere I go. It's still learning. It's about learning. It's about improving. God has always wanted the best out of his people. My father died at 85 years old. I guarantee you, he was still telling me, I want to do this better. Not only did he want to lead better, be a stronger leader, he wanted to teach better than he had taught in the past. And he was always looking, he was looking even at me, learning things from me. And I said, you got to be kidding. You're watching me? I've been watching you all my life. He said, son, there's something that people do. I'm always watching to learn to do this better. And so I think that needs to be our attitude when it comes to worshiping God in song. Have a two up on top, two beats per measure. And so you got to feel the rhythm of two beats in a song. And there's the beat pattern. Down, up, one, two. Here's the song, Lord, we come before thee now. There's the measure bars. So every time we get to measure bar, come down on one. Lord, we come before thee now. And I want you, when we sing this, I want you to really emphasize when you're singing beat one. Just really just overdo it, okay? Do. And those of you that want to beat the time, join in with me on this. Lord, we come before thee now. Beat pattern is strong. One, two, one, two. That's going to help keep people together. But another thing that's going to help is when the leader emphasizes beat one and there's rhythm in his voice. Lord, we come. I would watch my father. I said, what's he doing? I didn't think his beat pattern was all that great. And I'll say that now, he's gone. Okay? But I thought his beat pattern wasn't as strong as other beat patterns I'd seen. But I know one thing he had that was strong. He had rhythm in his voice. Boom. You knew exactly where we needed to be. And never a song would drag when the beat pattern is strong and the voice is strong. So there needs to be rhythm in our hand. And like I told the boys today, some of them were a little bit like this. I said, boys, when you lead, you're going to have to lead more manly. That's just not going to cut it as a leader. That's difficult for me to follow someone who gets up there. It's kind of like somebody goes shake their hand and they won't grip it. They just kind of put it out there like a dead fish and you're holding it. It's just like, come on, that's just not, that's weak. This is weak. But when you get the hand out here and you got a strong beat, one, two, one, two. Doesn't they need to be real big? It doesn't need to be real wavy. That can be distracting. You know, let me just say something about the word distracting. As I've heard one of my fellow teachers I work with, he says, distraction is an enemy of worship. It's an enemy of worship. And I tell you what, the devil wants us to be distracted. He wants you to be distracted. He wants the leader to be distracted. And because when we're distracted, we're not going to be singing the way we ought to or worshiping the way that we should. And so I don't want to do things that's going to distract you. And there's a lot of things that we can do up here as leaders that's probably more distracting than what you do to the leader. When I asked a group of fellows one day, I said, what do you find distracting in the audience? One fellow said, when people don't sing. One person said, when people walk in during a song or walking out. That's about all they could think of. I said, what do you think they find distracting in you? They couldn't think of a thing. I said, let me start. And I tell you, there's a longer list of things that we can do up here that's distracting. Getting the wrong pitch, getting the wrong beat, or not leading leading in a weak manner. But got to be strong and take a leadership role in this. Sing and be happy. We've got altos. You've got the lead in the chorus. And sometimes this song drags in the chorus because we just haven't got that beat in our head.
So Altos, I'm giving you fair warning. Don't you drag this. Don't you drag it. Now, I wouldn't say that on a Sunday morning in our worship service. I'm just saying that now because I look at what we're doing here as training. We're training. Do. Do. Do me. Singing since December when I was at Coleman. I told them the same thing. That's the best I'd ever heard it. The month before that at Hartzell, they did the best I'd ever heard. So y'all just getting a little bit better. But I gave you warning, though, that you got to keep that tempo moving, or else when you take that lead, or if the basses take a lead, or if the tenors have a lead, you just got to keep that tempo. You just got to feel the rhythm. I used to try to spend the time in teaching about note value, like whole note, half note, quarter notes, eighth notes, whatever. And then I finally got some good advice. Somebody told me, said, get them to feel the rhythm. When you see a number on top that says 4 or 3 or 2, feel those beats. 1, 2, or 1, 2, 3, 1. So that was very good. When my love to Christ grows weak, there's our measure bars. Let's sing this one again. Do, bass, alto, mi, soprano, sol, mi. If you want to make the time of this, that'd be fine. Now, here's something else. I'll talk to the leaders about this Saturday morning. But just to get up here and start with a downbeat, I'm not going to have all of you with me. But do, mi, now watch my hands. Watch my hands. Do, mi. I'll tell y'all, we're just a little bit behind. Do me. Okay, you're watching me now. I do this before we start. I go to the beat prior to beat one that starts on. It's beat, what is it, beat 3. That's to give you an opportunity to take a breath and start on a downbeat. All right, now you'll get it now, most of you. Do me, so. Do me.
When my love to Christ goes me, when for me first place I see, then Lord I go to thee, guarding up and send on me.
Giving you the opportunity to take a breath, we can start together. The majority. You won't get everyone, but you'll get most people. Christ for the world we sing. There's our measure bars. Why is there only one note in that measure? It's called a dotted half or three-quarter note. It doesn't really matter, but there's one note there. How many beats will it get? That's the important thing. So how do you know when to get off of it? The beat pattern is going to tell you. I can't actually sing that and count at the same time out loud, but I can do this, telling me when to get off that note. 2, 3, 1. See, sometimes fellows will go, Christ for the world we sing. They may be holding it 3.5 beats or 4 beats or 2.5 beats, but this is right on. Sing the world. That keeps it moving, the tempo moving through the song. All right, let's have... Do, do, basses, do, soprano, alto, do, mi, soprano, so. It's going to be-
Preparatory.
Christ for the world.
Four times. He is in our midst. You're going to beat this on a four beat. Do, so. Everybody on the same note. Sing.
Draw from the strings of salvation.
Singing out so well. All right, we have a number six on top, and okay, from last night, what do we do with that number? When we go from a 2, 3, and 4 now to a 6 or 9 or 12, what do we always do? Divide it by what? 3. So it's going to be a beat in a two beat, what is called two beat compound. We just don't want to get up there and lead a song every just doing that. If for the prize we have stripped, we're compounding three beats into one. If for the prize, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. If for the prize we have striven. Do. Tenors have a note there. Do. Soprano, mi, do, so, do, mi.
If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest in our souls.
Nine on top, divided by three. Now we're into three beat. So really there's only three beat patterns we have to know. Two beat, three beat, and four beat. But here, this is three beat compound is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3. And so this has nine beats, but really every 9, 4, 9, 8 song in your book starts on 7, 8, 9, except for one. And that's one day. That was starts on beat one. But my dad went and changed that before he passed, and I didn't know it, but I really thought that was a good change. But he put that one day when heaven, he wanted to emphasize heaven instead of one. One day, but one day when heaven was filled. So it really works very well. So really, every 9, 4, 9, 8 time starts on this 7, 8, 9. Have thine own, have thine. So if you're going to start right here, where's our preparatory beat for a breath? Out here, sleep out here. Have thine own way. Let me go back and get our pitch. Do, do, bass is alto, mi, sol, mi. Okay, there's our, okay. Do, mi.
Have thine own way.
Sunlight. Okay, there's our
7, 8, 9, 1, 2. See, there's 9 beats per measure. So there's that 7, 8, 9. Then there's a measure bar. Starts with beat 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1. All the way to the right of the measure bar is beat 1. And where's the hand going to be? Song leaders? Down. Always coming down to the right of the measure bar. That's the strong beat. Do, everybody's on the same note. Do, so, so.
Walking inside my heart.
Fermata, using a 3-beat pattern, right here. Glory divine, and then we gotta go vine. I cut it off. Hallelujah. Hands ready. Hands already there. Yeah, we're cutting off in the direction that we're moving. But if I'm coming in vine, hallelujah. It's a little rough. Vine. I really wanted to make it look rough, but I don't think it looked that rough. But vine. But I told you last night, I don't like the idea of backhanding the audience by sweeping up that way. Glory divine. Hallelujah. It's a lot smoother transition when you're beating down, out, versus down and in. Keep the hand out here where it's visible, where it can be seen. You don't want the hand to get lost behind the pulpit, the lectern. Got to keep that hand out here where it can be seen. All right, now we'll go to the 12 on top. 4 beats. Divide that 12 by 3. Now we got a 4-beat compound rhythm. Songs like, well, I thought I had Walking Alone at Eve. Walking alone at eve, and you are looking to thee from day to day. That's 12-8 time. Now, just let me show you a few things here in closing. A song has lyrics, words, and to sing the words, people must either memorize or read them. And we learned at a very early age how to read words. But a song has musical notes made up of melody, harmony, and rhythm. And so in order to sing the melody, harmony, and rhythm, you either have to memorize it or read the music. That's where we're failing today. Not many people read the music anymore. Probably only about 5% is what I've been told by various people of those among our brethren that can actually sight read. Most people learn by hearing it. They memorize it. We have 3 daughters, and probably 1 out of the 3 can actually sight read fairly well. The others, I'm ashamed of myself for not teaching them how to sight read. But when I hear them singing, they sound beautiful. Their voices harmonize. I think God has put something in most everyone, that ability to be able to harmonize, to hear the melody, and to be able to sing along. If you were to ask my youngest daughter, I won't mention her name, but of course, if she's hearing this, I don't know if you stream or not, but Penny, I will mention her name. Okay. Some of you know Penny, but if you were asked her, what do you sing, Penny? I'm not too sure she'd tell you. But I tell you what, though, when I've heard her singing with our family, I hear a little bit of alto, I hear a little bit of tenor, a little bit of bass. I mean, she makes it up as she goes along, and it sounds pretty. But again, it's not what appeals to my ear. What's more important is what we're doing that pleases God. We've got to keep that always in our minds. In our hearts. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. See, that's the thing that I think we so often will use this passage, and I'm going to talk about it Sunday morning, Lord willing, and we talk about, well, here's where we're told to sing. Yeah? But also we're told to teach and admonish one another. And when someone says to me, well, I just don't like to sing, so I just sit there and listen. Okay, stop and think about what God has said in his word. Teach and admonish one another. And I had to mention that one time to someone who refused to sing. And that person's attitude was so cold. And I said, are you teaching and admonishing those around you? And she wouldn't answer. I hope that she thought about that later. And again, there's a lot in this passage than just singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the command from God to sing requires learning something about singing. And really, last night, Steve alluded to that last night, it's about tuning our hearts. And if you tune your heart, you'll want to try to do what you can do in improving in your singing and tuning your voice. But you got to get the heart right first. That's number one. So learning something about singing, and obviously that's why you're here tonight. Let me just show you something here that I think is really interesting. I took the words out of this song, God is Love, and to point out about the key signature. Already tonight we have been looking at different keys, key of D, E flat, F, G. That determines the pitch of a song. I purposely, a few months ago at Hartsel, and I had a young man that came down from Murfreesboro that wanted to work with me, and he wants to do what I'm doing one day. And he's in his early 30s, so he came down and he stayed with Brother Bill Hall, and so he was sitting right over here one night, and I purposely pitched the song way too high. Now he thought I was off my rocker, and I did it on purpose because I wanted to ask the question, what's wrong with that? Sopranos immediately said, that's too high. Yeah, you're right. Well, you need to pay attention to what the key of the song is so that we pitch it where everybody can sing. Sopranos out, and tonight what we've done, every song that we have been singing have been pitched the way that they have been written so that everyone can sing, not just a few. Again, we're talking about worshipers of God. Pitches are represented by the highness, lowness of a note. I mean, when you see a note on the staff, it's going up. Your pitch needs to be going up. And coming down, coming down. And so, let me just move on here. Soprano voices are up there. Alto voices are there. Tenor voices are there. Bass voices are there. We've been seeing that tonight as we've been starting each song. I'm going to go ahead and move over. What's the first thing those of us who learned to play the piano when we were growing up, first thing we were taught was what? Middle C. And that's where middle C is right there. Sounds like this. C. I told the boys today that when I left Dallas yesterday, it sounded the same way. Anywhere in the world, it's going to sound like that. C. And so I'll put it all back together. So here we have the song with no notes on it at all. No words, nothing. So we put in, that's called the grand staff. We put in the treble staff sign, and we put in the bass staff sign for the tenors and basses. And we have the key. That's going to be in the key of D. D, do. So here comes our time signature. And then here come the notes for soprano. Do. If you're singing the syllables, singing names, it'd be do, mi, fa, sol, sol, la, ti. There you go. So do, mi, fa, sol, sol, la, ti, do. Everybody sing that. Come, let us all unite to sing. We're all singing in unison. We're singing the melody. Now let's put in some harmony. Altos. Do, do, re, mi, mi, fa, fa, mi. Come, let us all unite to sing. Now let's have this middle section. Start off with sopranos. Singing again, sopranos. We'll add the altos. Let's build on this. Do. Let me go back here. Okay, sopranos. Come.
Let us all unite to sing.
Come, let us.
So you'll use the beat pattern. Those of you that want to do that, join in with me here. We're going to sing this. This is a bunch of whole notes. And I'm glad we don't sing songs with all whole notes. It would take forever, wouldn't it, to do that? Do. We're going to give each one of these four counts, four beats. Do. Gets three beats. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si. One, two, three. Now let's do two beats. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do. Right. Now let's deal with quarter notes now. We can beat this four beats. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do. Do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do. Those are all quarter notes. We held that note way too long, okay? When we got to the end of it, you notice? Where these are do, re, mi, fa, and then we got the end right there. Fa, mi, re, do. You made that up. More of a whole note with a fermata. No, that's okay. Everybody does that. Now, eighth notes. Now, this is that one and two and three and do, do, re, re, mi, mi, fa, fa, so, so, la, do, do, ti, ti, la, la, so, so, mi, mi, re, re, do, do. See, if you get a note with a flag on it, you got to get off of it. You really have to get off of it when you get to this. All the 16th notes. One A and D. Do, 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 re, 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 re. That was not good to end on. All right, that song, like when all of God's singers get home, it starts with 16th notes. What a song of delight. It's not what a song of delight, but it's what a, like home, it's Whataburger. What a, nobody goes there and says, I'm gonna go down to Whataburger. Yes, we're gonna go down to Whataburger. I think it's the worst hamburger there is, but boy, they think it's great in Texas, but I've tasted better. But what a, it's just what a song of delight. That keeps the energy of a song when we sing it properly. All right, let's sing this in closing. Do, you've been sitting there for a long time. Please stand, okay? Do, do, so, do, me, that's good.
What a song of delight in the city so bright.
Song tonight is Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me. I really believe that what we have worked on tonight, just, you know, some people say, well, why are we doing this? Well, to become better worshipers of God's people. And when I think about people who we know, who are not familiar with this type of worship, singing with our voices, singing, make a melody in our hearts. When they hear it for the first time, I tell you what, I hear it all the time. People are just blown away. Various denominational people that I've been around recently, when they hear what we have done tonight, they just can't believe that it can come out of people. They just believe that you've got to have an instrument. And of course, what that drowns out what people are trying to do, or even those that even try to sing. But what we're doing is something that can make an impression upon someone
might lead them to Christ. Just might lead them to Christ. You think about that Philippian jailer. You think about that. What was Paul and Silas doing at midnight? They were praying and singing hymns to God. Who was listening? The prisoners were. The prisoners were listening. I think that's so interesting when we read that, of what Paul and Silas were doing that night. Here they had been beaten, they had been accused falsely, and we find them praying and singing hymns to God. And when we are down, when we're down in our lives, probably one of the best things we can do is pray and also sing. It can lift our spirits. And there just may be someone there noticing that, as these in that reading in Acts 16 were doing. But really, I wasn't going to talk about that. We know that what happened, the Philippian jailer obeyed the gospel that night, he and all of his house. You think maybe the singing that they were doing might have led them to Christ? Led him and his family? Maybe. Possibly. I think it's led more people than we realize. But when people come into our assemblies for the first time and they see what God's people are doing, you make a lasting impression upon them, and they see people whose voices are united, they're in fellowship with God, they're in fellowship with one another. It's really an opportunity that we can adorn the doctrine of God. And that's what I was going to read to you. It's from Titus chapter 2. In Titus 2, beginning with verse 9, it tells us how to adorn the doctrine of God. In Titus 2, verse 9, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. People in the world read us before they read the book. People in the world are looking at you, watching you and me. And when they see you engaged in what we are doing right now in a worship assembly, I know every one of you have someone that you know that you would like to have come in the assembly and worship here and see what we do, but also to hear from God's word and hopefully lead them to Christ. But how are you going to get them here? You got to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. They'll see that in your life as a neighbor, as a fellow worker, outside the assembly. But when they see you come in and join with fellow Christians, it just might be what leads them to be fully obedient to the gospel of Christ, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, making that confession, believing, having their sins washed away in baptism, as you did, as you were obedient to God. I believe when he talks about adorning, that word adorn means to be an ornament, to add luster, to beautify. See, we can make the teaching about God attractive in the way we live and conduct our lives. Tonight, if there's anyone that is subject to the invitation in any way, if you have not obeyed Christ, now's the time to do it, not tomorrow.
As you've heard, many of us have heard over and over again, there's no guarantee of tomorrow. We have now. And you can leave here tonight happy as you've ever been in your entire life that you have given your life to Jesus Christ. There may be someone here who's a Christian who needs to make things right with God. What better time than now? In the presence of these people here that you've been with tonight. What a wonderful family that we are a part of. But it only became possible through God's love for us and the sacrifice that His Son made for us. If you need to respond in any way to the invitation, come now while we sing this song.
Let the beauty of Jesus sing.
Again, we thank you for being here with us tonight and appreciate Tim's efforts very, very much in helping us worship God. We are going to meet again tomorrow evening at 7 and Saturday evening at 7 and then 9 o'clock Sunday morning and 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Tim mentioned it briefly as he was teaching us tonight that Saturday morning at 9, there'll be a session here just for the song leaders. And I think Tim, I don't know, I think it's supposed to go to 11, 9 to 11 or something like that. Does that sound right? How long do you want us? 11:30 maybe, okay. Well, okay. So some of us might take longer to teach than others. The play it by ear, that's code for some of you may take a while to pick this up. So, but if you'd like to, if you are a song leader or would like to learn some things about that, I'd be happy to have you with us Saturday morning at 9. Anything else from the elders tonight? All right. We're going to ask Herbert Alexander to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.
Would you bow with me, please? Our dear God and Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the love that you have for us and for the opportunities that you give to us, that we can come together this evening as we have, that we might learn better how we can offer worship to you and how we can encourage one another and be what we should be for one another. Thank you for the church here at Eastside and the efforts that they are making and have made to make this available to not only their number here, but to us who have come to be with them. And we're thankful for Tim and thankful that he's willing and ready to do this work. And we pray that your blessings will be with him and Vicki and family. Ask you, dear Father, to help us to learn and to know so that our faith is stronger, that we might love you more, that we might love our neighbor as we should and one another, that we might learn not only your word but learn to love it, and as we've studied this evening, to learn to love to offer up to you our voices in song, that we might praise you, that we might teach and admonish one another, that we might in times of cheerfulness sing praise, all those things, Father, that you have taught us, that we might petition you and ask the blessings that we need. We are so thankful, Father, for the great privilege that you give to us, that we can be your children. Help us to live each and every day so that Christ is truly seen in us and that others may be moved to give honor and glory to you. Please forgive us where we failed you. We thank you and ask these blessings in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.